Okay, welcome to week 13 of our Rip from the Headlines shiur. Just a reminder that this shiur is going to be a little bit shorter in order to accommodate for those who want to attend Rabbi Spitz's shiur following. And we did have a couple of people who mentioned to me they were interested in going, although I don't see them here now. So therefore we'll end a little bit early. I also got a request as a follow-up from that to try to keep it to one article per week if we're already cutting down the length of the shiur, so we can go a little bit further into whatever topic is at hand. So I tried to do that for this week. So the first was actually a really short little sort of almost like press release article, which leaves us lots of room for, you know, getting up to four pages in material. And the story was as follows. Texas father sues son's classmates for alleged cyberbullying. Associated Press from, what was that, yesterday, I think. San Antonio. A San Antonio man is suing his son's classmates and their parents, accusing the students of starting online rumors that the teenager was planning a school shooting. That's pretty serious. The San Antonio Express News reports that Derek Rothschild's lawsuit seeks to unmask the unnamed Tex Hill middle school students who spread the gossip. It's the first lawsuit to invoke David's Law, named for a Texas high school student who killed himself after being cyberbullied. The lawsuit says the students posted on social media in January that Rothschild's 11-year-old son, 14-year-old son, sorry, was most likely to shoot up a school and spread rumors about an alleged planned attack. The lawsuit said school officials determined the claims weren't credible. Rothschild said the district didn't clear his son's name or provide him with counseling and resources under David's Law. Okay? So this is, you know, a pretty severe situation where you have a child in school being accused of planning an attack on the school, something which can have significant repercussions. The school looked into it, decided that wasn't the case. Fortunately, it seems like, as of now, it wasn't the case. There was no school shooting there. But there was a serious grievance from the student against these other students who had been saying this, and therefore the father of the student decides that's it. He's going to sue those people who sort of spread this slander about his son. Now, Lashon Hara, Motzi Shemra, in and of themselves, are very, very, very significant. And we'll talk a little bit more about it in a moment. If I remember correctly, the Chafetz Chaim lists something like 31 mitzvos aseh and los aseh that you're over when you tell Lashon Hara. So we could really go on for this year, you know, this week, next week, the following week, the following week, the following week. But I thought I'd focus a little bit more on some things that either I came across that were new to me, as well as some things that may relate more to what happened over the internet here, as well as to the case in hand. I want to talk not only about how bad cyberbullying is in halacha, but also whether or not Jewish law would be okay with paying monetary compensation to someone who was cyberbullied. So we'll sort of break it into two sections. The first section will be about, you know, how bad this is, and the second section about whether or not, you know, you can sue for damages in a Jewish court for something like this, where someone slanders you, defames you, etc., etc., etc. So the first thing I found when I looked online about cyberbullying and halacha was this article by Dr. David Levy titled Halacha in Etiquette. I don't know if it was copied from somewhere. It looked kind of choppy in places. So I tried to restructure it a little bit so it would look nice here, although the content is his. And he gives us, you know, a huge number of areas of halacha that net etiquette, can relate to. So number one, he says, the Chafetz Chaim's Hilchos Yisurei Lashon Hara. If you look through, Shmiras HaLashon and Chafetz Chaim, you'll see, you know, a whole number, as we mentioned, of averos that someone can be over when saying Lashon Hara. And when publicizing information about someone on the internet, that's obviously, you know, a number one concern. And even if it's not pure Lashon Hara, even if it's not true, you have Motzi Shemra. You have emotional stress with words, Ona'as Devarim, which we'll talk about a little bit. We have the Pasuk of Lo Selech Rachil Bamecha, which we're going to discuss, which really is about talebearing, telling things, you know, about one person to others and peddling around secrets. We've discussed an earlier shiurim this year in the, I don't know if you remember, the Absidy shiur, about the name of that girl, ABCDE. So we quoted a Gemara which talked about how causing someone's face to be whitened or creating a nickname for them, which are exactly the types of cyberbullying activities that we see going on, that's embarrassment, which the Gemara tells us is like murder, as we'll see a little bit later. On the other hand, there are so many positive things that these things ignore. The concept of having lashon naki and speaking cleanly, speaking purely. Again, these are sort of his quotes, but the concept of derech eretz in general and appropriate activities and behavior. Kiddush Hashem, obviously, if this were to happen with Jews, you can imagine the sort of chilul Hashem that it would cause. And on the other hand, the ability to be mekadesh Shem Shemayim by acting appropriately on the internet. Kavod Abrios, Tzelem Elokim, Darchei Noam, Ve'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. You can make a list, again, that would go on for lines and lines and lines and lines. There's so many different things to keep in mind here. So it's really not a question of, you know, how bad cyberbullying is. It's that bad. You can find, again, avera upon avera upon avera upon avera upon avera that's going on here. And it's really, really serious. One
question?
Sure.
So if these, just relating to the article, if these students, for whatever reason, actually thought that their claims might be true, are they still avera part of alacham for the form that they did in, like for not going to proper authorities? Or?
I mean, the assumption would be yes. The assumption is that even if it's true, it's still Lashon Hara, right? Unless it's being done for the absolute details of Toelas, which are outlined in the Chafetz Chaim Sfarim. Which would be exactly to protect people from it. But if, you know, if someone's causing, you know, if you think that someone's planning for a shooting in the school, you don't post it on Facebook, and you don't post it on his Facebook page.
Right?
That's just not the way to do it. So even were that to be the case, I don't think that would get people off the hook. It will come up, actually, in a case that we're going to discuss a little bit later. There's a really wild case that was brought to a Beis Din in Israel. In short, it was basically this person who didn't like that his neighbor's dogs were always barking, and he made up all sorts of stuff about her, and then tried to say, well, it was true, so I was allowed to say it, when she came to him to say, you know, I want you to, you know, compensate me or else I don't know what. But anyways, let's focus for now on some of the things that I came across that I found new. When it comes to cyberbullying, the problem with it is that, first of all, it's behind the scenes. You don't necessarily know who it is, right? It can be anonymous online. And more importantly, there are so many people that are standing by idly. And I saw an unbelievable Or HaChaim here. Which makes a point that I never thought about. In last week's shiur, as well as many other shiur, and we've quoted the pasuk of Lo sa'amod al dam re'acha. Do not stand, again, idly by as, you know, your friend's blood is spilled. And the beginning of that pasuk is Lo se'lech rachel b'mecha. You should not go up and down as a slanderer among your people. Lo sa'amod al dam re'acha. You should not endanger the life of your neighbor. Ani Hashem. And if you look at the Or HaChaim here, the Or HaChaim, first of all, explains what the Aver V'Chilas is about. We'll read it on the English so we don't have to jump back and forth. But he says, do not go about your people bearing tales. Our sages in the Zohar have already preceded me in drawing attention to the apparent duplication when the Torah speaks about both Lo Selech, do not go, and Rachil, bearing tales. Rochel, again, is a peddler. So Lo Selech Rachil means don't go as someone who goes around. What's up with that? The latter word implies that one goes from one person to another. So why do we need the words, do not go? The Zohar's answer in Naso, subsection in Jerabah 128, is of a mystical dimension. But he suggests a different answer. I believe the plain meaning of the Torah is a warning to each individual not to become a vehicle for potential defamatory information about a second party. So he starts by focusing on the possibility that don't let yourself be a vehicle for this. Meaning, this is talking about presumably repeating Lashon Hara, but when we think about it on the internet as to what goes on and what causes something to get to somewhere else, it's, you know, always as we say in the Gemara, Chavra, Chavra Islay, V'chavra D'chavra, Chavra Islay, this one has a friend, that one has a friend, and things can be shared on Facebook in an instant, and this is really, you know, talking about another vehicle for potential defamatory information. And how does one prevent this? By not revealing any information, even innocent information, in the hearing of anyone who might use this information or part of it and turn it into something defamatory. And this is something to be really careful of when we look at social media in general, to be careful not to share other people's information, even if you can say, well, right now there's nothing bad about it. It may be taken by someone with the wrong ideas, with the wrong purposes, and can really be turned around on this person. If that were to happen the person who merely related the original harmless-sounding story shares part of the guilt. The Torah purposely writes bi'amecha amongst your own people, referring to people close to you who are indiscreet and blabber about any confidence they have heard or overheard. And God adds, I am the Lord, i.e. I am going to track down whence the defamatory remarks originated. But here is the point that I wanted to get to, really, which is something that I never thought of, but very, very relevant. Another aspect of our verse is that the Torah warns that we must not associate with nor tolerate the presence of people who spread evil gossip. Providing such people with a home or otherwise assisting them makes the host an accessory to their sin, part of the cause. And if you look back at the pasuk, what he's trying to say here is that lo samor al dam reyacha is not something separate. Lo samor al dam reyacha is not about bloodshed, and it's not about murder, and it's not about standing at the side of the river while someone is drowning. Lo samor al dam reyacha, he says, is people sitting on their computers at Facebook watching this happen and not doing anything about it. Not standing up for someone, not calling attention to it. That, he seems to suggest, is lo samor al dam reyacha, and that I think would be very relevant here. People can unmask someone who is doing this. People, you know, students in the class can know who's bullying, and instead they're letting this kid's life, you know, almost be ruined. I mean, you can go to jail for something like this very easily. This is no small matter, and this, you know, really explanation of the pasuk spoke to me in terms of the, you know, our modern day iteration of what really lo selech rachel ba'amecha is. I thought this was an interpretation that really should be taken into strong consideration, but everything he says in here, of course, is something that's more than relevant to an internet forum, as well as someone just simply repeating tales from one person to the next.
So, I mean, I don't know very much about this technology, I have to say,
mm-hmm.
But is there a fear that if you turn someone in, then you will then become the subject of the bullying yourself? Is there something about, you know, if you kind of get involved that way, then somehow it's going to turn on you?
So it depends on the circumstances. You could have such a fear. The question is what you can do about it. Meaning, there are many ways that you can get about this and keep your anonymity, okay, the same way as the bullies can keep their anonymity.
Right.
So, standing up for someone may not necessarily always be the best course of action, but perhaps going to the kid and saying, listen, I'm supportive of you. I know these people are doing a terrible thing.
Oh,
I wish I could help you out. Or going to school and saying, listen, there's people spreading slander on the internet. You've got to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to track this down. Whatever the case may be, there are other ways to go about it, supporting the person and not being over on your lo samar al dam reyacha, according to the Or HaChaim here. There are definitely ways to do that. Is the right way to do that by saying, you know, I, so-and-so, stand behind this victim of cyberbullying? I'm not sure that will always be the best course of action.
Mm-hmm.
Another relevant pasuk, which it's always fascinating to me, you know, how early, you know, Torah sources are so applicable to our lives nowadays, is, says the Gemara, Arur makere ehu basaser v'amar kalam amen. One of the curses that are delivered on Har Grizim and Har Eval as part of the deal struck in the Devarim is, cursed is he who strikes his neighbor in secret, all the people shall say amen. And while, you know, the source of what it means in secret, it may mean just between those two people. In secret can mean a lot of different things in the pasuk. One of the very simple meanings of in secret is when the person doesn't know it's you that's harming them. And in fact, Rashi on this pasuk says, what does Arur Makere Ehu Basaser mean? It means someone who tells Lashon Hara. Privately, not in front of you, they're whispering things about you. And again, when you look towards stories like we have nowadays, you see how true Rashi's words are, ringing in our ears again and again, that this is exactly what's taking place. People hidden, sometimes out of sight of the victim, sometimes in sight of the victim, but anonymously, that are bullying them, attacking them, telling Lashon Hara about them. This is true as ever. But there's one other point I wanted to get to. We talked about earlier, Ona'as Devarim. Ona'as Devarim really means any sort of emotional stress caused by words, and that's the way it was put earlier. And that actually comes from a pasuk in Vayikra. Okay, and Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra 25:17. It says, V'lo sonu ish es am yisoon, you shall not wrong one another. V'yareisa me'elokecha, and you should fear your God. Ki ani Hashem elokechem, for I am Hashem, your God. And says the Gemara actually darshins this pasuk in a very interesting way. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Source number 6 now. Gadol ona'as devarim me ona'as mamon. He says something that, you know, we may understand, we may not understand. And he says that ona'as devarim, verbal mistreatment, is a lot worse, is a lot greater than monetary mistreatment. Shezeh ne'emar bo. He says, how do you know? Because this velosonu is the second of the losonus. This is clearly referring to ona'as devarim. You can see the different mefarshim on that pasuk, which explain that this has to be talking about laws relating to speaking. And what does it say in this pasuk? What does it say after velosonu isha samiso? V'yareisa me'elokecha. Okay? Says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Says Rabbi Yochanan in his name. When you look at ona'as devarim, God says, you better be scared. You better be worried. On the other hand, if you look at ona'as mamon, which is bad, taking people's money is bad, exploiting them is bad. But you know what? It doesn't say, v'yareisa me'elokecha. It doesn't add that extra. You better be scared about what God thinks. Okay? V'Rabbi Elazar omer, zeh begufo v'zeh b'mamono. And he says, you know what? We know that gadol ona'as devarim me'ona'as mamon, not just from the fact that the Torah tells us about this one, v'yareisa me'elokecha, and about that one, it doesn't tell you that. It's very simple, right? Verbal mistreatment, that affects someone's body, someone's feelings, someone's soul. Monetary exploitation, okay. You know, that just affects one's money. But which is more important? Obviously, one's soul, one's body is more important, right? It reminds you of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Exactly the opposite, yes. Right? And that's one of the points that this Gemara is coming to say. Money, and the next explanation too, Shmuel Bar Nachmeni has a different perspective on it. And he says, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar, Ze nitan leheshavon veze lo nitan leheshavon. What happens if you trick someone out of money? Okay, it can get paid back, right? Money you can get, you can get money from other places. Money is something that can change hands very, very quickly. But once you say something to someone, that's it, it's done. The damage is done, it can never be repaired. You can't ever fix that. And therefore, he says, that's the difference between these two. And these three opinions are all three different reasons as to why ona'as devarim, hurting someone with words, is so much worse than hurting them in their wallet. Tani tama kamei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. And someone said, Tana said in front of Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, kol hamal b'pnei chavero barabim kilu shofech damim. As we said earlier, anybody who whitens someone's face in public, meaning by doing something that falls under the rubric of ona'as devarim, it's as if you spilled his blood. Amar leh shapir ka'amret, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak said to this Tana, you're absolutely right. Dechazina leh de'azil sumka ve'asich havra. He says, because what happens when you embarrass someone? If you embarrass them a little bit, they flush. But if you really get them good, they turn bright red and their face whitens. And that loss of blood, says Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, that loss of blood is like you're killing the person. Amar leh abayler of Dimi b'marava b'may zihiri, amar leh b'achvure ape. Okay, and Abaye asked Rav Dimi another story about this. In Eretz Yisrael, which mitzvah are they particularly makbid on? He says this one, not whitening people's faces, right? And it quotes now the famous memra of the Gemara from Rabbi Chanina. As Rabbi Chanina says, Hakol yordin l'gehenem chutz mishlosha. Says everybody goes down to Gehenem, okay, except for three. Hakol sakadat galeim, Hakol hayordin l'gehenem olim chutz mishlosha. It says, rather, you need to understand this as saying, everybody that goes down to Gehenem comes out of Gehenem after a while, except for three people, Sheyardin ve'ein olin. That those three people, they go down, they never come up again. Ve'eluhain, and here they are. Number one, Habal Eshes Ish, sleeping with a married woman. That's a pretty big deal. That person stays down in their Gehenem. But who else is there? Ve'hamal ben pnei chaviro barabim v'amechana shimra l'chaviro. Okay? And the other two on the list, which again, we discussed this in an earlier shiur, but the other two on the list are people who embarrass someone else. You can embarrass someone else by insulting them. You can embarrass them by calling them a mean nickname. But you can see the severity with which the Gemara looks at someone embarrassing someone else, and to realize that when it talks about cyberbullying, we're dealing with a very, very, very serious avera. Now, here's the thing. If it's a serious avera, does that mean that it's then something you can sue for? And the simple answer would be to think, do we know of any time where you get monetary payments for embarrassment? Has anybody heard of that? Boshes, right? So I'm hearing a lot of people murmuring. If you look in source number 7, it's the Mishnah in Bava Kama. It talks about the 5 different payments that someone has to pay compensation for an injury. And here are the 5 types of payments. Hachova b'chaver, if one injures his friend, in source number 7, page 3. Chayav alav mishum chamisha dvarim. You need to pay the following 5 payments. Nezek, damage, tsar, pain, ripui, medical costs, sheves, not being able to work, uboshes, and for humiliation. And in fact, the Mishnah there continues, boshes, what if you go through all of these other things, but what is boshes? Hakolafia mivayish ramispayish, if someone is more embarrassed, less embarrassed, if someone is in a higher position, someone's in a lower position, depending on the people involved, we see that there is such a payment that exists in Torah to say that if someone gets embarrassed, the other person should have to pay them money. And you know what? What did we say in the Gemara here? We gave 3 different reasons to say that. Gadol ona'as dvarim me ona'as mamon. Embarrassing someone is much worse than, again, exploiting them in some way monetarily. So the simple reading would be to say, and the simple understanding at this point would be, of course, no question at all. If you embarrass someone, you'd have to pay them for the damage you caused them, for the embarrassment they endured. And in fact, if you look in the Rush in Baba Kama, the first thing you would think is exactly this. Umistabra, says the Rush, it makes sense. De Yoser Boshes, in source number 8, Bidvarim, mi Boshes shel Chavala. He says, obviously, being embarrassed by words is much worse than being embarrassed from a wound. Someone punches you in the face, so you've got a black eye. That's embarrassing. But someone in front of a room full of people, you know, degrades you. That's terrible. There's nothing worse, there's nothing more damaging than this lashon hara and slander that someone tells about his friend. So at this point, you would think, yeah, you know what, that is the case. But the problem is, you get to read the Gemara there, the Gemara on this Mishnah. Or on the later Mishnah, sorry, it's on a slightly later Mishnah. The Mishnah there is talking about people that spit on one another. And that's a type of damage that can happen. So says the Mishnah, Rakak vihigia boharok, okay? If someone spat on a friend, in source number 9, and the spit touched him, it hit him, then he has to pay 400 dinar. Says Rav Papa, and here's something very interesting. Amar Rav Papa says, Lo Shanu, in source number 9, they taught this halacha only in a case of elabo, if it hit the person directly, meaning the spit lands right in your face. Aval bevigdo, lo. But if it only landed on your sweater, doesn't matter, then you don't have to pay the 400 dinars. Obviously, it's not something you should be doing, and it's a, you know, you'll have to, as we're going to say, you're going to be held accountable by heaven. But the point is that you can't make someone pay when their spit only touches your shirt. Asks the Gemara. Fini havi ki bayish bidvarim. Says the Gemara, 1 second. But why shouldn't this at least have the status of embarrassing someone with words? You still spit on them. You're right, it didn't land on their skin, but it's embarrassing. It lands on your shirt. You know, the guy just, you know, spit in your face. It didn't land in your face. It's true. But that's still embarrassing. Why shouldn't you have to pay? Asks the Gemara. Says the Gemara, it should be similar to embarrassing someone with words, and you'd have to pay. Says the Gemara, you're wrong. Amri b'marav mishmeid Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, zos omeres b'ishu b'dvarim patur miklum. Says the Gemara, because we said in the name of Rabbi Yosi bar Avin, just humiliating someone with your words, boshes devarim, you're exempt, patur miklum, you do not have to pay a cent. And therefore, this case is analogous. Spitting on someone is analogous to embarrassing them. And for that reason, you know what? You're completely exempt from payment. And lest you think this is some sort of machlokes, it doesn't make sense. This is Shulchan Aruch's halakha. Halakha here. Shulchan Aruch says, Rakak b'chaveiro. Okay? If someone spat on his friend, chayev, and it hits him, they're chayev. This is in source number 10. Aval rakak b'vigadav oshevisho b'dvarim pater. But if you spat on his clothing or you embarrassed him with words, he's pater. Says the Shulchan Aruch, which actually this comes from the Rosh, and we're going to discuss this at length in the final case. V'yesh lebezdin mechol makom uvchol zman Ligdor kefima sheyiru. The Beis Din each time should try to, again, sort of protect this ruling according to what they see fit. The Yesh Omrim and the Rosh says that what was the Beis Din doing? Sheminadino so ad sheyefayes hamivuyash. That you have to put this person in cherem, you have to throw him in nidoy, you have to excommunicate him until he asks forgiveness from the person who embarrassed. And I see now I forgot to translate some of this line here. Hagah says the Ramah. V'yesh omrim demakin oso makas mardos. If someone embarrasses someone with words, there is an opinion that says, you beat him. Rabbinic lashes. It's us. Or again, we can't make you pay. We can't make you pay. But we can do other things to you. And says the Ramah, what is the example of mevayesh bedvarim? What's the example of embarrassing someone with words? V'hamotzi shem ra al chavero, havei bichlal hamevayesh bedvarim. And someone who says motzi shem ra is considered a mevayesh bedvarim. So looking back to our case, where it's literally exactly what's taking place here. You have a bunch of people who are motzi shem ra through the internet about another student. Would the father halachically be able to sue for damages? For money? No! You can punish the other guy, maybe. We saw the idea you could put him in cherem. We saw the idea maybe a Beis Din would even give him makas mardos, which is a very severe punishment. But where's the money involved in all of this? And in fact, if you look further in Shulchan Aruch, it's even clearer. Af al pi, and we're continuing in source number 10, the third line, which is really si'if, it's in Choshen Mishpat, taf chaf, and it's si'if lamid tes, 39. Af al pi she'am evayish bidvarim inu bar tashlumin, even though one who embarrasses with words is not liable to pay for damages. Avon gadol hu, this is what Shulchan Aruch says, unbelievable. It's a great sin. Ve'ein ha'mecharef u'megaref la'am u'mevayshan, and anybody who, again, speaks badly in this way and curses people out and says mean things, that person is only a shota, says Shulchan Aruch. They're an idiot, they're a fool. They're a rasha, they're a sinner. They're a gas ruach, and they're egotistic, they're haughty. And Shulchan Aruch seems to be very, very clear. There's nothing to talk about here. You cannot pay back money.
It's like he's chayim b'dei
shamayim. Absolutely. And in fact, if you look at the end of the English translation, they note this, exactly. You're held accountable by heaven. I mean, you see Shulchan Aruch, avon gadol hu. I don't think you can get very much stronger than that, except for maybe speaking during Chazar HaShatz, where Shulchan Aruch says, gadol avon amin iso. We might have to strike that from the recording. But what's going on here is that we see, despite the fact that we think, and we see sources saying that this is much worse than harming people physically, and this is much worse than harming people monetarily, you still, it's not something that is related at all to the monetary field. And that's what we think, and then now we're about to do a double take, because we're going to read the Rambam in the next source. The Rambam in source number 11 says, as we said, if someone embarrasses a friend with words, or he spits on his clothing, he is exempt from paying. And Beis Din should again sort of oppose appropriate restraints on this in any place at any time as they see fit. Now here's the strange part. If, however, you embarrass the Talmid Chacham, chayav leshalim lo busha shlema. You do need to pay busha. Okay. What do you have to pay? Afal pi shelo biyisho ela bidvarim. Even though he only embarrassed him with words, for nifsak adin shechol hamevayesh talmid chacham afilu bidvarim kontzinoso. He says, it's already a set rule that anyone who embarrasses a talmid chacham, that's different than just a regular person. In that case, we fine him. V'govin mimenu mishkal shloshim v'chamisha dinar min hazav. You take 35 gold dinars. And this is the punishment. This is a fine, says the Rambam. Shehu mishkal teshas laim pachos revia, which is this amount. V'kabala hi biyadinu shegovin knas zeh b'chol makom bein ba'aretz bein l'chutzar. Says the Rambam, this is our tradition, that you take this fine whenever someone embarrasses a Talmud Chacham. So what happened? I thought the Gemara says it. You're pater.
May take a stab at this?
For sure.
When a person's mevayesh talmid chacham and lowers his status, maybe they're putting his position in jeopardy. In other words, a talmid chacham, it's part of their, almost like their parnasa, to have status.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe there's like almost like a civil damage done here, perhaps. I'm just
guessing. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
It's not a matter
it's,
of just...
Right, it's interesting, actually. I saw in the Aruch HaShulchan here that he says when it comes to defining a Talmud Chacham here, it's anybody who's scrupulous about mitzvos, as well as community leaders, he says. He actually includes that. So that's a very good point. That may be one of the reasons why this knas was imposed. I don't think we're actually saying that there is some sort of civil damage that you can monetize,
right, no.
Especially not at a set amount, but that may have been one of the reasons, one of the impetus, one of the impeti, I guess, impetuses, I don't know. One of the impeti, that sounds like a cool word, so we'll say it, to say that they should have a knas here. But what does this tell you? From the fact that the Rambam says there's this accepted knas, and he also uses the language that we saw in Shulchan Aruch of saying, Yesh ligdor b'davar b'chol makom v'chol zman k'fi sheyiru. It seems like there is a possibility of imposing a fine. Not that that's the halachic payment, meaning there are two types of payments in halacha. There is a type of payment called tashlumin, which is money that is owed for something that you do. So for example, when you hit some, punch someone in the face, you owe them money, you damage them. That's money that you owe them. That's not a fine imposed by the courts. This that the Rambam's talking about is what we call a knas. It's a fine imposed by the courts. If that's the case, it seems like there may be room maybe to sort of start thinking about, can courts give fines if that's something that they feel appropriate in these cases? And I stumbled upon a very interesting Tshuva Sarash. If we looked back, the case that we mentioned before was the case that perhaps someone should be put in Cherem, they should be excommunicated if they, again, tell Lashon Hara about someone else or embarrass their friend in other ways. And the poskim are all over that rush. The poskim try to talk. Can we compare? Can we not compare? But I found the Tshuvos HaRash, the Rush's responsa, where he says something that I can't believe no one mentioned. And we'll see it in the next source where we'll discuss this a little bit more. And here's what he says. Tshuva, says the Rush. Chamisha dvarim ne'emru b'chovel. There are five, again, payments that have to be made for someone who damages someone else. Nezek. Okay, we talked about them before, all of these different five. Nezek, Tsar, Ripoy, Sheves, and Boshes. Okay, these are the five payments that have to be taken in this case. Vekulan al yedei ma'aseh. All five of these only come when you physically do an action. There has to be something that happened, you punch the guy in the face, five payments. Vekach shanu chazal. And in fact, so say chazal. Bisho bidvarim patur. If you embarrassed him with words, you're off the hook. You don't have any of these cases. And now, as you'll see in the next source, people are thinking, well, would it be allowed to knas, not allowed to knas, says the Rush, and this is such a shocking language that he uses. Amnam, however, nahagu b'chol mekomos moshvos Yisrael, in all of the different places that Jews settle, all of the places of Jews, and the Rush actually was from Sephardi lands part of the time, Ashkenazi lands part of the time, he got around a little bit. And he says, lasos takana v'siyag l'davar, that to do, again, some sort of fence, some sort of restraint, as was mentioned by the Rambam, and as was mentioned by he himself, in the context of what? Putting people in cherem, and lidavar for this thing, lehatil chocha b'fi ba'alei lashon, to again, stop these people from doing this, the people who are speaking badly of others, to embarrass them, to stop them. And he says, what do you do as part of this? Now, before we were talking about putting someone in cherem, and this is what all the poskim discuss. Here's what he says. Uviliknos hamivayesh. What was the way that they set up this takana? He says, in all of the places across Klal Yisrael, they find the guy. Viliknos hamivayesh hakol lefi ha'inyan. According to the case. So if the case was something terribly embarrassed, they levy a giant fine. If it was a little bit of embarrassment, they give a smaller fine. And you know what he says? It's unbelievable. Not only does he say this is what people do, he suggests this. V'chein ya'asu bezdin b'chol inyan l'fi haray. That's what they should do according to each case. Hakol l'fi ha'mivayesh ha'mispayesh. And they should try to figure it out. You know, I don't know why this rush is so ignored. I don't have an answer to your question because we're going to see there's a very comprehensive article written by Rosvi Lifshitz and we'll provide maybe one possibility. Where he talks about this issue exactly in Truman, which is a Torah journal where people publish different articles on it. And the poskim are busy dealing with this rush, and the biggest question is number what we have over here in source number Vav. Again, this was the question where basically you had this lady with her dog and the person who was telling Lashon Hara about her. And they wanted to know, can the courts fine him? And can she demand money for being, again, harmed in some way by his, you know, claims about her? And he says, Mitzad halacha, according to the halachic perspective, kasha lehamir es onesh hanidui be'onesh kaspi. He says, it's very difficult to swap a punishment of nidui, which we said, again, is excommunication, be'onesh kaspi, for money. And certainly, it depends on whether or not the Bezdin is established, how much authority the Bezdin has, and one of the main points that he discusses within the article itself is the note that it's not so simple to have a Bezdin that can impose fines in our day and age. Halachically, what status of smicha would they have to have, and do we try to do that, do we not try to do that? But you have the Rosh, again, and this is completely ignored, they're grabbing the Rosh in his halacha sefer, who seems to say that you can put the person in excommunication, and they're saying there's no way in the world you can find them. The Rosh is saying, all right, this is the way to go. So I was having a lot of trouble with this. Again, there is a possibility that the main reason is because, you know, we may be uncomfortable with any courts doing that. Obviously, we don't want a little bezdin that sets up with three people to start finding people. It really has to be the main court of the city that everybody accepts, but barring that, it doesn't seem so crazy to say. And he says, "La'orch umrata ba'aya ulaman hashavat kvod mishpat haTorah va'taratol yoshna." He says, because of the seriousness of this issue, in order to return the honor of the Torah's judgment about this to what it was, yesh tzarch betakana klalit le'inyan boshet dvarim. He says, the truth is, we really need a central psak on this. We need there to be some sort of way that we can approach this through all of society. We can't have each bezdin trying to decide what's best for all of these cases. I mean, these are cases which have huge ramifications in halacha for basically all these lawsuits that we have for defamation and libel and you name it. These are things that may not have a place in halacha altogether. He says, poskim need to get up and need to come up with something to say, you know, what should be the halacha? Ulam, kol od lo nitkena takana kazu. However, listen, you know, we don't have one yet. Hareshev mikre hanidun. Hechlit bet adin shelfaneinu shelfanav huva hainyan. This Bezdin that this case was brought to, where again you had the person defaming his neighbor, the lady, they decided, liknoset hamavayesh b'schum smali. They said, you know, we're going to fine him, you know, sort of like a symbolic amount. It's not really significant. But it's enough to show, you know, that we're serious about this. We're fining you money because you did this. And the point is to try to motivate him to approach back. We want him to go and apologize. Because at the end of the day, what we can't forget is what we need to do here is to have them apologize. These are things that are Ben Adam L'Chavero. Ben Adam L'Chavero doesn't go away from fines. Ben Adam L'Chavero doesn't go away from whipping. Ben Adam L'Chavero doesn't go away from being excommunicated. Ben Adam L'Chavero goes away from what? Approaching your friend and asking mechila. And if that was the case here, and that is the case here, and you have cases of people saying, I won't forgive you unless you give me $1 million. Then what do you do? So these are the types of cases that Bezdin has to look over and has to figure out. On the one hand, there seems to be a push in Shulchan Aruch, especially, away from fining people in this case, and really moving towards other punishments, even, you know, more serious punishments, what we might think of whipping people. Rather than that being a recommendation. On the other hand, we have this Tshuvas HaRosh, which doesn't seem to be so popular, and we do have a couple of cases of Batei Din, which were recently okay with fining people. Usually it's not in significant amounts, but it's something that has to be considered in this case, and to know whether or not a Texas father can sue his son's classmates for alleged cyberbullying. So just to summarize in the last minute or two here, we talked about, you know, a whole boatload of things that are wrong with cyberbullying, and how it's, you know, really up there in the terrible things that anyone could do, even those, you know, bystanders who may not be getting involved the way they should be, and certainly those that are supporting it and egging it on. We talked about how the Torah talks about this in a number of places where it really seems to be dealing directly with what we're talking about. We have Onas Devarim being so serious. I mean, we had a suicide one, right? The David's Law came from a child who committed suicide over cyberbullying. We talked about how it's hidden, it's anonymous, and there's that element to it. And then we went into the discussion, which we essentially came up with not a significant conclusion on, as to whether or not you can actually sue for monetary damages in cases of Motzi Shemra, Lashon Hara, Mivayesh Chomer Barabim. And we said there's a lot to talk about, but certainly there are cases ongoing about this. I hope that this is a nice overview of a very not nice subject. Have a great night.
Thank you.
One of the things I think is so tricky with the busha element is it's so subjective.
Yes.
Too, because for one person, like I heard, I'll never forget. I was with a group of people, and it was kind of a professional counseling session,
mm-hmm.
and somebody complained to the leader of the group. I just want to point out that person A over here said something to me that was really humiliating, embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
So the leader of the group had a very interesting response. He said, I'm just curious to know, why did you allow these words to hurt yourself so much? In other words, why wouldn't you just ignore it? In other words, you need to bear some responsibility for your own feelings. It was a very interesting comment. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the Torah feels about that one. but yeah, no, it's certainly a meaningful story. Shkoyach.